know, this year marks, if I did my math correctly, which I'm very capable of doing it incorrectly, it marks America's 248th birthday. Wow. 248th birthday. I thank the Lord for our country. I'm very thankful to be an American. And I'm sure that that feeling is shared by probably all of us here today. But I had a question for you. Have you ever asked someone or told someone happy birthday and they say something like, well, it's been a pretty rough year? Have you ever said that to somebody and they say, well, you know, I thank you, but it's just been a really tough year? You know, our response is usually something like this. Well, I sure hope you have a better year, don't we? You know, for our country, America, it's been a pretty rough year and a pretty rough stretch of years. And I'm not speaking specifically politically, but even though that's part of the ball of wax, you know, it's been a rough time for our country for a long time. We've been heading in the wrong direction. And I'm talking spiritually before the Lord, we've been heading in the wrong direction. And I would say, just like I would to an individual, I sure hope America has a better year this year. I sure hope that we have a better year this year. And do you know one of the best ways that I know that America can have a better year and better years and string a few years together? Really, as we approach our 250th birthday as a country, one of the best ways I know that we can have better years is for dads to rise up and to be the dads that God has called us to be. The message this morning is not specifically on America or the birthday of America, but we're going to continue to look at the role of a father. Now, ladies, don't turn this off and say, well, okay, well, it's just for everything that's said can also apply to you, at least in some way. And I'm sure that you know people that are dads, right? And some of you, of course, are dads. Some of you will be dads. So there's something in the message for everyone. And as I thought about this, I did contemplate preaching a message specifically on America. But I really felt that this is pretty applicable to the condition that we're in America today. Because part of the reason why we've had some rough years in America, and that goes back a good way since we've turned our back on God, it started in many ways from the family. Because when the family started to break apart and we stopped doing our roles as husbands and wives and as children in the family structure, our society started to fall apart more and more as well. So really, I mean it. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm not just saying this to be saying it because you're a preacher. But I really believe that one of the key elements to being a blessing in our country, one of the key elements of the years getting better and our country turning back to God, starts right in the family. And we've been looking at the role of a father. We're spelling out the word fatherhood. Now, we're going a bit slower than I figured we would, but I'm okay with that. I hope you're okay with that. I feel God is okay with that. We're just kind of breaking it apart. And guess what? You're not going to hear this too much on the radio. You're probably not going to hear this a whole lot on the TV unless you just happen to listen to some preachers that preach the Word of God. And our society is totally clueless in general about what the role of a father really should be. And I really think if we can grab a hold of it as Christian dads and as Christians that are gathered today, if we can get a hold of what really is the role of a father, I really think we can make some positive influences and positive impacts on our families, on our communities, and ultimately on our country as well. The role of a father, of course, the F, the first letter of fatherhood, he furnishes the needs of his family. In other words, he provides for the needs of his family. That's the role of the father. The A, he admonishes his children to do what's right. That means he charges and urges and implores his children to do what's right and serve the Lord. Aren't you thankful for parents that have stood up for the Lord through the years? most of us here today, I'm sure, can look back. Not all, I realize that, but most of us can look back to a godly parent that we have had, whether that be dad or whether that be mom that brought us up right. As I've said many times, my mom was the one who really went to church. My dad got saved later, always a good moral man, always treated me right, brought me up, taught me right from wrong. But my mom's the one that took me to church, even before I was born. And I'm thankful that she did. But you see, one of the roles of a dad is to admonish or to urge their children to serve the Lord. What we're finding more and more in ministry here at this church, and I'm sure across churches all around our country, the kids are actually the ones who want to serve God more than the parents do. It's backwards, and I'm telling you, that just doesn't work too well. We have to rise up. I mean, the kids are more serious about God in many ways, in many cases, than what the parents are. But we have to, especially as dads. If you know the Lord is your Savior, urge, implore, charge them to say, you know what? I want you to serve the Lord. And that's what's important. So F, he furnishes the needs of his family or provision. A, he admonishes his children to do what's right and serve the Lord. The T, he teaches his children about the Lord, and not only about how to be saved, but teaches them how to serve the Lord and how important that is in the role of the church and the role of the Bible and the role of prayer in their life. Teaches them. Now, that's everybody's responsibility. And I know we're in such a society now, I know I've shared this before probably several times, but according to the statistics, over half of the kids in West Virginia today are being raised by a grandparent. I mean, I believe it's like 52%. You think about that. So this message is absolutely for fathers, but it's also for mothers. It's for grandmas and grandpas. But I do think the primary responsibility rests with the father. So if you're a Christian father, you need to teach your children about the Lord. How to be saved, how to serve the Lord. The last one we looked at was the H. He heads or leads his family. You know, we looked at roles in the family. Y'all remember that? We looked at all the roles. We looked at the role of children is to honor and to obey. The honor, the role of the wife is what? To submit and to what? Support. Submit and support their husbands. And the role of the husband is to love and to lead. To love and to lead, not only their wife, but their children. Now, that's crucial. And I know sometimes you can get in this back and forth thing. Well, you know, if he loved me the way that he should, I'd support him. And then the husband says, well, if you'd support me the way that you should, I'd lead and love you the way that I mean, let's just look in the mirror and see where we are. What is your role? So the H was he heads or leads his family. This morning we're covering the E and the R of fatherhood. The E and the R of fatherhood in this series, The Role of a Father. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I'm going to read this to kind of give you a context of what's going on and what Paul is saying. Now as he writes this, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to kind of set the context. I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it today. You see, Paul went to Thessalonica right after he went to Philippi. Remember Philippi? He was run out of town, and he finds himself at Thessalonica. He works with the church there, and he's writing back to them saying, this is the way I conducted myself as a preacher, as an apostle of the gospel, as one who shared that, and I want to encourage you to continue to serve the Lord as he writes to the church. Now that was on the second missionary journey. Again, Paul visited Thessalonica, but now he's writing a letter back to them. Okay, now listen, verse 1, it says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Now, I'm going to read and I'm going to comment just a moment. And he says, you know that I didn't come to you. It wasn't empty. It wasn't useless. It served a purpose. Verse 2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. So he says, you know that we left Philippi. We got run out of town. says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So there were still people opposing us, but we continued to share the gospel. Verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. In other words, our motives were good. You know, of course, there's always going to be people on the fringes criticizing and saying, well, Paul, you did this wrong, and you did this for money, and you did this for... There's always going to be people like that. But he said, no, there was no uncleanness. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. We shared the gospel, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that was there to please men. Seriously. The preacher must please God. And Paul felt that as an apostle. He said, you know what, I'm not here to please man. Now, when I can, I will, absolutely. But ultimately, it's about pleasing the Lord. It says, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. I didn't use fancy words. I wasn't in it for what I could get out of ministry. Verse 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So I could have asked for a salary. I could have been a burden to you. But guess what? It was all about the glory of the Lord. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Like a mama cherishes her children, we were gentle, sharing the gospel. Verse 8, so being affectionately, that is, desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. So he says, you know, there's an endearment there. I fell in love with you folks, and I was there sharing the gospel out of no bad motives, but just because God wanted me to. Verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. He worked hard for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. In other words, he was hard at it. Now, you're getting close to what we're going to be looking at today, okay? Are you still awake, alert, and enthusiastic? All right, good. It says, verse 10, ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. In other words, he's putting forth the case that I was there for the right motives to share the gospel, and this is what I did. Now, notice verse 11. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now it's almost like Paul is making the argument here. He's saying, you know what? This is how I behave myself. This is how I treated you. But then we're blessed with a little commentary on the side. This is just like a father does his children. Now, he's already set up there a little bit earlier. Again, really, the whole text is not our passage, but those verses in particular. But I wanted to say what they're part of. What is the context? What's he talking about? In verse 7, he already used one analogy for mom. He says, I was a lot like a mom that cherishes and takes care and is gentle with her children. Then he jumps down to dad and he says, I exhorted you, I comforted you, I charged you, basically as a father is supposed to do. Now listen up, listen up. We as dads have an awesome responsibility. You know, one of the biggest blessings in my life is to be a dad. Really? I mean, I would have really missed out on so many things in life if I were not a dad. And we looked at it that way. Her at motherhood and me at fatherhood. If that hadn't been part of our life, we would have been really missing a whole lot of blessings. Remember, we started a little bit later in life having kids. We were just having a good time, enjoying each other, enjoying life. We kind of one day kind of wised up and said, you know what? If we don't have kids for too long, we may not have any kids. We had two. She miscarried between the boys. We're convinced that's our girl. We'll see her in heaven. But guess what? If we'd have started earlier, we'd have probably have a whole row of delays. Because we really, really enjoy being parents. And I really think it's not supposed to be this heavy, oh, but there are times like that, and we feel that, and there's pressures to that. Oh, absolutely. But to us, it's a blessing. And I think if you're here as a dad or a mom, you ought to just thank the Lord. Now, again, I realize that not all folks can have children, and I know that's a burden and on your heart. But I'm saying for those that have kids, what a blessing. What a blessing. Are kids challenging? Absolutely. At times, they all are, right? But what a blessing from God. And Paul, as he's writing to this church, is saying, this is the way I treated you, just like a father does. Boom, boom, boom. These three things. He says, just now, I will tell you right up front that all three of them are somewhat related. Somewhat related. Now it says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. As I read that, Paul, when he writes it, is basically saying this is what's expected, among other things, of a father. It says to exhort, to comfort, and to charge. Now, we've already looked at charge. That was under the idea of admonishing. The idea there is to urge or to implore, and that was covered, I believe, in part one of the sermon series. But we're going to look at the first two that are mentioned in this verse, okay? Role of a father, the E, he encourages his children. He encourages his children. Right there it says, and you know how we exhorted. The idea there is of encouragement. It means, now listen to this. I thought this was really cool. Y'all ready? This is really cool. The idea behind that word is to call to one's side. To call to one's side. You know, it's interesting in John chapter 14 and verse 16. Now, you know this verse. Notice this. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Notice what it says. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus, now bear with me for a moment. Jesus, when he's about ready to leave his disciples, says, guess what? I'm going to send you a comforter. Do you know that word comforter is paraclete? It basically means one that is called aside, and it's related to the word right here of what fathers are supposed to be to their kids. Isn't that cool? I mean, we have a good example. The Holy Spirit is always there to encourage us, right? Always there to push us on and to encourage us in our walk with God, to exhort us to serve the Lord, right? Now, if you think in the Bible, you think, well, I can't quite get my brain wrapped around that. Can we look at a tangible example in Scripture? Have y'all ever heard of Barnabas? Barnabas. Now, do you know what Barnabas was called? Again, the same Greek word, just the noun form of the Greek verb that is in this verse. Barnabas was called the son of consolation in Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verses 36 and 37. Acts chapter 4. Notice what it says about Barnabas. Now, we're talking about the role of a father in this idea of encouraging or calling someone to the side or to your side, just like the Holy Spirit is on our side, right? It says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed, there he is, Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. There's that same word. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Notice what he did. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Do you realize what Barnabas was doing? You know, when there was all those folks saved at Pentecost, remember, at Jerusalem? And, you know, Peter preached that phenomenal message recorded in the Word of God in Acts chapter 2. And how God used that, remember? And so many were saved, and they were a bunch of people that they were away from home, but they stayed to be disciples. And guess what? You know, people started selling their land and bringing the money to the apostles. Here you got a guy who wanted to basically call to his side and be an encouragement to all these people that needed help. He sold land and he brought the money to be used by them. Now, don't you think there's some reason he's called the son of consolation or the son of encouragement? Can you picture that as a dad? You know, looking after and calling one to your side and being on their side and encouraging them and exhorting them. Now, another instance where Barnabas, maybe this will be perhaps a little even clearer, Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. Notice, y'all know who Saul was, right? Saul, later Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 1 Thessalonians, we're looking at. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or wanted to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Can you kind of get the idea why? Because he was killing Christians. But guess who called him to his side and said, "This guy's all right." It says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way." That's Saul. "And that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Do you see in this Barnabas the idea of encouragement, calling to one side? And the same idea should happen for fathers. For our kids, call them to our side. Be an encouragement. Support them in the things of life. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. Notice this. Do you remember that Paul and Barnabas went out on the first missionary trip? Remember that? And then right when they got ready to go on their second missionary trip, there was a disagreement. And these verses talk about it. And it says, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.'" So Paul says, "All right, let's go. Let's go see how the churches that we started in the first missionary journey are doing." And Barnabas determined to what? To take with them John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark. Barnabas says, "We ought to take him." Notice what it says. "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." Notice what it says. "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Now, what exactly is going on here? Okay, I know it might be a little bit confusing. Paul, Barnabas, they went on the first missionary journey. They took John Mark with them. But John Mark, somewhere along the line, for whatever reason, got homesick and said, "See you guys, I'm going home." And then it comes to doing their second missionary journey. And guess what? Paul says, "No, no, no. We don't want to take John Mark. He deserted us." But you know what Barnabas did? As the son of consolation, he called him to his side basically and said, "John Mark, guess what? We'll go on the journey ourselves." What an encouragement. What an encouragement. We're talking about encouraging our children. You know, an encouraging dad, you know, they say things like this. "Guess what? You can do it." You know, in this world that everybody beats you down, I can tell we worked hard last night. Everybody's really tired. In this world that continues to beat us down all the time. And do you know how mean kids can beat each other? I mean, it seems like they've always been that way, but it seems like it's getting worse. I mean, just treating your kids, dads in particular, and moms, you fit into this category too. They need to hear you say things like, "You got this. You can do that. Just hang in there." Call them to your side and say, "Guess what? You're going to do great on this." They need to hear that. They hear so much, "You're worthless. You're no good." And you know, at times like this, I might add, when we have outreaches like this, hopefully they were encouraged, and I believe they were, by our people last night, these kids. When they come to Vacation Bible School, We need to encourage them along and say encouraging things. Call them to our side and say, hey, we're glad you came. We're going to have a great week. When we go to things like junior camp, that's one of the values, because some of the kids that go to camp, their home life's a wreck. And they're not hearing encouraging things, so we want to encourage them. But dads, guess what? We need to encourage our kids. Call them to our side. You got this. You can do this. I have confidence in you. Do you know what that does? I'll bet you. I've not got any statistics to back it up. I'm not even sure how you'd quantify that. But I'll bet you, this is my statistic. You want to write it down? You can. I'll bet they're 2 times more likely to succeed at what they're going to do if they have the idea in their brain that my dad is encouraging me or my mom is encouraging me. They're telling me that I can do it. By golly, I think I can. With God's help, I know they can. Amen? You see, the role of the father. Now, we can get all tied up and all bent out of shape and always on their case. And I understand some kids deserve dads to be on their case quite often. I get that. But we can overdo it a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We can overdo it a bit. But they definitely got to know that mom and dad are on their side. I'm encouraged it can make a real difference in our families. I'm encouraged that it can make a real difference in our country if we simply do it. You can do it. We need to tell them. We can tell them things like, I'm right here with you. Can you kind of picture in your mind those little tiny bicycles with training wheels? Now, you didn't, I don't know about you, I didn't do this. Hopefully you didn't either. Guess what, Junior? There's a bicycle in that box. There's instructions in there. I know you're only 3, but maybe 4. But I know there's instructions. You read the instructions. Here's my tools. You just put that thing together. What did you do typically, dads? You took the tools out, ignored the directions, but put it together anyway. Had to back up once or twice and do it right. But you got that bicycle with the training wheels on it. You know what that's doing? That's calling them to your side, supporting them, even taking care of their bicycle. But the best picture is when they first get on the bike. You don't say, well, Junior, Eric, you know, you'll be okay. Just go out there in the street and just it, it. No, you're saying, okay, now you get on the seat and these little wheels will hold you up and you just pedal and try to maintain your balance. And guess what we typically say? And I'll be right there with you. Right? And when you push them off, you probably are not only just pushing them off, you're probably running beside of them, right? Just in case that bike does this or this. That's the role of a father. Encourage. Call them to your side. I'm here for you. You got this. You know, it sometimes may involve encouraging your child to get out of their comfort zone for the Lord. Really? You know, most things we do for the Lord all the way through life, most things that we do for the Lord when we grow and mature takes us out of our comfort zone. Y'all agree with that? Sometimes we might encourage them, call them to our side and say, you know what, Junior? I think you can do this for the Lord. You know what, Junior? If they ask you at church to do it, I know you can do it because God is with you, right? Encourage them. Spiritually pushing them outside the comfort zone for the Lord. You know, I think of our boys, and that's my frame of reference other than Scripture, which we preach and teach. But my relationship with the boys as dad and Amy's relationship as mom. But, you know, you kind of think of the idea of North Carolina, going all the way to North Carolina to go to school. Now, Jason had the benefit of having Ryan, even though that was a step of faith. But Ryan went down there. We didn't know anybody down there. We don't have any family close. I have a sister in North Carolina, but I found out one thing. North Carolina is a big state. Where they go to school and where she's at, I think about 4 hours or something. Even more, Amy says. But it's a good distance. But you know, in that endeavor, guess what? Our boys were right here. We were right there on their side. And they if you want to ask them, they'll about, you can do this. You know, If God is calling you to go to school in North Carolina, by golly, we'd love to have you right next door. We'd love to have you at the house. We'd love to do online. But you do what God wants you to do. You see, that encouragement of a dad and of a mom, and that's what we need to do to our kids. You can do it. And guess what? Praise the Lord, so far, they've done it. And they thrive down there. It's amazing what our kids can do if we encourage them and point them and help them in the right direction. To call them to our side and say, guess what? You can do it. Some of you say, well, preacher. You know, my kids are grown. You really think I still should encourage them? Absolutely. I mean, life gets really tough a little bit later in life when your kids grow up for them, right? It gets really tough for them. Lots of challenges. You know, be right there for them. Encourage them to serve the Lord and keep on doing what God wants them to do. The role of a father, he encourages his children. The second one I'll try to cover more briefly. It's found in that second word. It says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted. The R word is reassures or comforts his children. The role of a father, not only does he encourage his children, you know, being there for them and you can do it, but kind of in this, I kind of get the idea. Again, these terms are all related, and there's a little bit of subjectivity to it. But I really think the idea here is reassuring and comforting children whenever they may mess up a little bit. You know what? Guess what? Every child, can I make a statement? Y'all ready for a profound statement? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. Oh, a profound statement. Every child that's ever been born in this world has failed at something. Y'all don't believe that, huh? Because guess what? When you have children, you have little sinners on your hands, right? And kind of the idea here, at least in my mind, when it says comforted, the role of a dad is to comfort, to reassure, even though they might mess up in their walk with God or in their life. You say, guess what? Just get back on the horse. I like Westerns. This is an analogy I like. If the horse throws you, just get right back on the horse. If the bicycle throws you, get right back up on the bicycle, right? And part of our role as dads and moms is to say, guess what? You can do this. You may have failed once, but I want to encourage you and comfort you. And sometimes, I know we kind of hesitate to do this, but sometimes we as parents can say, guess what? I did some stupid things in my time too. Again, I'm not excusing stupid decisions. I'm not excusing sin, but I'll guarantee you, your kids aren't perfect. But they need to hear from mom and dad that we're still here on your side. We're still going to comfort you and reassure them. Again, your kids are going to fall at something or fail at something. That's just the way life goes, but we need to reassure them, in particular in their walk with God. Keep on serving Jesus. Keep on serving Jesus. You know, when kids are little, the disappointments that they have are kind of smaller. You know, it may be like a disappointment in a test score. It could be a disappointment in not making the team, or a disappointment that they didn't score that goal that was wide open but they missed it. You know, it seems like the problems that they face are somewhat smaller. Wouldn't you agree with that? And then as they get older, they get bigger. But the principle is the same. Whenever they're down, part of the role of the dad is to comfort them and to encourage them and say, that's all right. You know, and our boys have done very well academically at school, but, you know, every once in a while they say, yeah, I took that test and I didn't do too good on that test. And, you know, we're not like, come on, you got to do better than that. You need to study harder. You know what? And I think the proper role of a parent is, because we at least know that they're studying and they're working hard. Now, maybe there's a time for being a little bit rough. But our role as parents is to encourage them and comfort them that that's okay. You'll get them next time. You know, when they miss that basket in the ball game, and it's like, that's okay. That's all right. It's just a game. Just keep on playing. That's our role. Fathers, mothers, today, specifically the role of fatherhood. What are we supposed to be doing? The first part is to encourage our children. The idea is to come to one side. Call them to our side and encourage them. You can do it. I really believe that mom and dad ought to be the biggest fans of their kids. Their kids ought to recognize, you know what? My mom and dad's on my side. You know what? My mom and dad, they're for me. My mom and dad have confidence in me. Now, again, I understand every situation's a little bit different, but they ought to have that in their mind. My mom and dad believe I can do it because with the Lord, I can do anything. The second part that we've looked at today, he reassures or comforts his children. You know, I didn't share this earlier, but I think of Peter when he failed the Lord. Remember, he denied the Lord three times. He failed him. But what did Jesus do? Remember on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, remember him coming and he asked Peter the question three times. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you know what he was doing? He was encouraging, reassuring, comforting Peter, right? That's our responsibility, dads and moms, reassuring and comforting our children. Even when our children fail us or fail the Lord or both, or at something in life, you can reassure them and comfort them. So I'd encourage you today. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. About ready to land this here plane. If you're here today and you're saved, you're a saved dad, you're a saved mom, you're a saved grandpa, a saved grandma, a saved uncle, a saved aunt. Let me ask you, are you encouraging and comforting those children around you? Again, absolutely dad and absolutely mom and dad and absolutely grandma and grandpa, but you may have people in your life that you could just be a difference in their life. Encourage them. So, when America celebrates its 249th birthday, really, if dads would rise up and be the dads that God has called us to be according to the Bible, lead them in the ways of the Lord, encourage them that they can do it, be on their side, reassuring them and comforting them, do you realize that when we see, well, what kind of year was it? Well, it was a little bit better, at least in my family, at least with my kids, and that could just snowball and make a difference in our country. Even that momentous 250th anniversary, I really am convinced if dads would be the dads that we're called to be, if moms would be the moms that God's called them to be, that things could really turn around in our land. Really turn around.